Lord Jesus Christ, spoken word of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and help us today to hear only your words. Amen. Today we mark the feast of the baptism of our Lord. This is all part of the bright stream of Epiphany tide, the church season we're in now. Epiphany is kind of like a series of small, lowercase e epiphanies about who Jesus is. Over and over again, Jesus Christ is made known to the world. These epiphanies come to many different people. First, to the Magi who followed the star. Today, in Jesus' own baptism, to Jesus himself and to John. Then, to the first disciples, called rather abruptly from their fishing boats. And then to Simeon and Anna, who witnessed the presentation of Jesus in the temple. And finally, right before Lent, we hear about the transfiguration, when Christ's glory was revealed to his disciples on the mountaintop. Since today is the feast of our Lord's baptism, I find myself wondering how baptism specifically, and our own baptisms, make Jesus Christ known to the world. What glory is shown forth in baptism? I think this is a good question, first because two people are being baptized today. Oliver and Teddy, we are honored to be part of this big day for you. But this would be a good question to ask on any Sunday, since many, if not most of us in this room, have been baptized, or have at least seen someone baptized. Behind you in the church, there's a stone font. That is where, in a few moments, we will pour water and bless it, and pour it over Oliver and Teddy's heads three times while baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we will seal them with a special holy oil, sealing them for the kingdom of God. And before that, their parents and godparents will take vows on their behalf, and we ourselves, the whole congregation, will promise to help uphold them in these vows. All of these material gestures are part of the sacrament, the concrete and outward signs of a real and inward grace given by God. Like communion and marriage and ordination and confirmation, baptism is a sacrament that changes our lives. And you know, baptism doesn't need to involve an infant in a stone font in a fancy church in order to really be baptism. My own parents were baptized as young adults in the waves of the Pacific Ocean. Nor does baptism outside of a church even need to be by a priest. In urgent situations, any Christian can baptize someone. A few years ago, when I was working as a chaplain in a hospital, on a late, late night at 1 a.m., I witnessed a grandmother, who was a preacher in her own tradition, baptize her newborn granddaughter. These baptisms were sacraments, material and outward signs of a real and inward grace given freely by God. Baptism really does change our lives, even though we can't always put our finger on it exactly, and with every person, we can't always list a series of transformations that happens. But if we are Christians, we believe that this sacrament somehow marks us permanently and lifts us into the life of the Trinity. But I see I've gotten away from my first question, which is, how does this sacrament make Christ known to us and make Christ known to the world? First, I think baptism makes Christ known to us in a new way, because baptism reveals our true relationship to Jesus. When we are baptized, we learn who we truly are, and that is the beloved of God. In baptism, we are marked as Christ's own forever. That's actually what the liturgy says. You are marked as Christ's own forever. Baptism doesn't just reveal to us our identity as Christ's own, but we also receive a new identity on top of that. When we are baptized, we are adopted into God's household and God's family. So Christ, the one who conquered death, is revealed to us not just as our Savior, but as our brother, our sister. This is why we joyfully applaud the newly baptized person. We're welcoming our own new sister, a new brother, into our family. And by church family, I mean not just this parish, but yes, welcome to this parish, and not just the Episcopal Church, but really the family of Christians that covers the world, that includes as many languages and cultures and appearances as we can imagine. All of us have Christ as our brother. And that is what we see anew about Christ when we're baptized. Second, baptism makes Jesus Christ known to the whole world. It makes Jesus known to the world in this kind of strange and countercultural sign. I know that in this place it may seem like a kind of normal thing to do to baptize a baby, but upon closer examination, it is very bold and very strange. Here is a baby toddling around who has been dedicated to God. This countercultural sign is a reminder to us and to all who bear it and to all who witness it or hear about it that we are God's beloved and that God is our home. This is news to the rest of the world because the world, in all its competition and distraction and pettiness, would like you to think that it owns you, but it does not. We belong to God. And baptism should state this loud and clear to all who hear it. And last but not least, baptism makes Jesus Christ known to the world because a person who has been baptized is a person who has made vows and has chosen to be bound by those vows. If we are baptized, we have renounced Satan and have vowed against all challenges to respect the dignity of every human being. A baptized person is someone who has put their whole trust in Christ's grace and love, who says over and over again, "I will, with God's help." Now, Jesus is that one who Isaiah describes, who God gave as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon. In our baptism vows, we are drawn along in Christ's mission, and given the grace so that our hands and feet can make this mission known to the world. In our vows, in our faltering attempts, in our brave attempts to live by our vows, Jesus Christ and the love of God are made known to the world. As Brother James of SSJE has said, when we see another person's baptism, as we are about to do, we are reminded once again who we truly are. We discover anew to whom we belong, and we are encouraged in our own journey that leads to cross and tomb and glory. As we witness these baptisms, I invite you to ask God for what you need to know yourself as God's beloved. Ask God for what you need. Remind yourself that no matter what anyone else says, you are part of God's family. As we say the vows together, I invite you to reaffirm your commitment to this life that we have chosen and to ask God for help in living this out. And as we are all about to look at these young, bright faces who are doing a great job, I hope you'll join me in turning our own faces again to God and taking up that great love and affection which God has already given to you freely and abundantly. Will you pray with me? Holy God, into the darkness you said, "Let there be light." It is your voice which thunders over the waters, which shakes the cedars, and it was your voice at the baptism of Christ in the River Jordan that proclaimed him your beloved Son. And we know this is the voice, today even, which calls us your beloved. Draw us closer to you, O God, that we may know you for who you are, that we may know ourselves as your beloved, that we may recognize the great family of Christ as our own, and all of this to the greater glory of your name. Amen.